Bibles, but Daniel in chapter 5. I understand the check's already been written, and it is considerable, so I guess we can go home. But I didn't come here for a check.
Amen.
I didn't come here for your money. Now, we're thankful for your graciousness, and we're thankful for your sacrifice. And we'll use that money for the glory of God the best we can. But you mark it down, we did not come here to get a check. We came here to be a help to you. We came here to encourage your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Knowing good and well, unless God bless, there's not going to be an awakening. So if you'll stand here tonight, and we're going to read Daniel chapter 5. Now listen carefully to the instructions, because this is a long chapter. I want you to read the first 7 verses. Then I want you to jump down to verse 22 and read on through verse 30. I'll say that again. We're going to read the first 7 verses. We're going to jump to verse 22, read all of 22, and all the way through verse 30. I'll get you started. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine before the 1,000. Now verse 22. And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Thank you. I understand Brother Joe Benedetti's with us tonight. It's been a long time since I saw that, seen that dear brother. I'm going to ask him to pray for the meeting. Brother Joe, are you here? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That was a pretty long chapter. And I hope it's not true, but it's very possible some of you read more tonight than you have all week. You ought to be reading to fill in the gaps so you can figure out exactly what's going on. We read the beginning and the end, but there's a whole lot in the middle as well. I want you to know this Belshazzar, he made a great mistake. There's a lot of people in our lives in this world that make great mistakes, and maybe we've made some great mistakes. Amen. And a lot of time God gives us more grace. Thank you, Lord. And He gives us mercy, and He extends His hand of patience and mercy and allows us to recover from our mistakes. And thank God for that. Amen. But it looks to me like old Belshazzar here, he made a mistake and it cost him. He went one step too far and it cost him. Look what it says down there in verse 4. It says, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Did you hear what that said? They drank wine. It doesn't say, and they went to church and did that. Didn't say they were reading the Bible and did that. Didn't say they're on their knees and praying to God Almighty and they did that. Didn't say they're drinking Kool-Aid and doing that. Didn't say they're drinking a chocolate shake and doing that. It said they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, and wood of stone. You know, drinking wine will lead you to do some stupid things. I don't know if there's anything more stupid than to drink wine and start praising the gods of what? The gods of gold and of silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. Haven't you figured that out? Them gods, they don't talk, they don't walk, they don't hear your prayers, they don't give you any blessings, they're not going to help you, they can't heal you, they can't save you, they can't change your life. Now why in the world do you praise a god like that? I'll tell you why. Because they were drinking wine.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The check's already been written. I get to preach on anything I want. Look over in Proverbs in chapter 23. Hold your place there because we're coming back. Proverbs in 23. Look down at verse 29. Listen to the Scriptures. This is the holy word of God. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Do you like woe and sorrow? Who hath contentions? Do you like contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Do you like this description? Who has it? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it is moved aright, itself aright. At the last it bindeth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of a sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. You know, there was nothing else in the Bible that talked about wine. That ought to be a sufficient. That ought to be good enough for you and I. Never touch that stuff. Now, I don't think that the interpretation of the Scripture is you can't go to H-E-B's because you might happen to see a bottle of wine on the shelves. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about you're looking on that wine with desire. You're desiring it. You want to have it. Kind of like Jesus talking about looking on a woman in the New Testament. If you look on a woman and you lust after her in your heart, you're guilty of adultery is what Jesus said. So that's how I understand that Scripture. I don't think it's a sin for you to go in a store where there's wine sold and you got to walk around blindfold because you don't want to look at it. I think the problem is people got a desire for wine and they don't desire God. Now, I tell you, I drank wine one time in my life, and that was sufficient. But I didn't know the Bible. And there wasn't nobody around telling me you shouldn't drink wine. There wasn't nobody telling me I shouldn't get drunk. Everybody around me said that's the thing to do. My daddy did it. My mama did it. My granddad did it. My grandmother did it. All my relatives did it, except for my uncle. And that's a different story. But before he got saved, he did it. And I grew up when he did it with my dad. They were running buddies. They'd run around to the bars and clubs. And my uncle, you know my uncle, he got saved. Uncle Dick, he got saved. But he's a pretty big fella. He's got big old hands. And my dad was the provoker. They'd go in the bar and my dad provoked them guys just so my uncle could fight them. And he'd go up and whisper to them guys, I'll give you a beer if you go tell him something. Because he knew my uncle would get mad and deck him. But I drank wine one time. That was sufficient because I woke up in the middle of a field, snow all over me, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I come back the next day and I was sicker than a dog. I learned something the hard way. And you know what? Bless God, and I thank God every day that God had mercy upon me, and that was sufficient for me to never want to go back to that stuff again. I learned my lesson. I thank God. You know, my wife's always complaining about I don't like things. I'm very finicky, she says. I'm discriminatory. Discriminatory people make wise decisions, yes? But you know what? I thank God. I didn't like vodka. I didn't like Jack Daniels. I didn't like beer. I don't know how people can drink beer. I don't understand. But some people do. And the Bible says that it'll come back and bite you like an adder. There's not a drunk in this world who's laying on the street in Poland that said, you know, I started out with the aim in my life so that I'd end up on the street drunk, wallowing in my own vomit. That was my desire, my goal in life. I went to college to learn that, how to drink beer, how to guzzle, so I could lay on the ground the rest of my life out in the cold and maybe freeze to death someday. That's my life's ambition. Not a drunk in this world says that. And almost every drunk that I've ever met has said to me, I wish I could get free from this. Alcohol is a hard taskmaster. It takes a hold of me and does things to me, and I wish I could get free. Old Belshazzar, he drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and stone. Isn't that something stupid? And people that drink, they start doing stupid things. People that drink start taking God's name in vain. They'll start saying some of the most perverse things that you ever heard. Now, they wouldn't do that if they hadn't been drinking. What if somehow we could go back in time and take alcohol out of the lives of all those sitting in prison tonight? Do you think the prisons would be empty? Now, you mark it down. I count alcohol and drugs in the same boat. I don't see much difference between you guzzling a bottle of beer and you popping pills or shooting stuff in your arm. You know, kids got a bunch more sense than some of us adults. You tell your kid you're going to take him to the doctor, and the doctor's going to give him a shot, and he's running. Oh, I ain't going, I ain't going. And you're out there, give me a shot, man, give me a shot, I want a shot. Isn't that crazy? I hate taking pills. I had an ear infection this week, and the doctor gave me these big old horse pills. How are you supposed to eat them things? And there's people out taking these things. It's, the Bible says that Belshazzar, he drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, etc. That's stupid. And I don't think he'd have done that had he not been drinking. But he got the drinking and started praising the wrong gods. It wasn't that Belshazzar never heard about the true God. His father had a day of awakening. His father found out what happens when you ignore the true God. So it wasn't like Belshazzar never knew about the true God. It wasn't like he was some heathen and didn't know better. He knew. Look over to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. Here it is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Look what it says. And be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I know how some of us are. Our old man, our old Adam in us, and our old man in us, that old nature so full of lust. He says, well, I can drink wine if it's not in excess. I just drink a cup at dinner. You old liar. You don't just drink a cup at dinner. You drink one before dinner, one during dinner, and one after dinner. Yeah? Then you get a nightcap just before you go to bed. And it ain't too long before you get up in the morning and have one for breakfast. Isn't that true? He said, don't desire wine. Because it bites like an adder. You know some crazy things people do when they're drunk? Some of these girls just start taking off their clothes. You mark it down, ladies. If there's a young man in the room and he's offering you a beer, a bottle of wine, with any alcohol or some dope, he's only got one intention. He knows good and well if he can get you liquored up and get you full of wine, that you'll start taking your clothes off for him. Then you'll end up pregnant and he's going to say, bye-bye, honey. And you're going to be left all alone. Am I stepping on some toes?
Amen.
Am I getting close to home?
Good.
See, I wasn't aiming out there. I'm aiming right here.
Amen.
You got people all over Poland. They're saying, well, I don't have a job. There's hardly a day goes by somebody that comes up to me on the street and says, I don't have a job. I need something to eat. Would you give me some money? Would you help me or whatever? Not a day goes by. Now, they don't know what they're getting into. I remember one time, Joe and I were coming out of the church there in Torun. We were getting ready to go out to preach, and we saw this old guy go by, and he apparently looked out the corner of the eye, and he saw the sign for our church. And you could just see the light bulb going on in his head, yeah? You just knew. And he turned around, and he comes up, and he says, Pastor. Now, how did he know I was a pastor? He says, Pastor. I don't have anything to eat. I need to get something to eat. I could smell the liquor on him. I think if I lit a match, he just burned up. He says, Pastor, I need something to eat. And I said, well, I'm busy right now. Just give me a minute. He says, yeah, but I'm hungry. Well, so am I, but that's okay. You can wait for a few minutes. He said, no, but I'm hungry right now. I said, me too, buddy. Would you hold on for a minute? I'm busy right now. I'll get to you. And so I finished up whatever I was doing with Brother Joe. We were doing something. I don't remember what it was. So I went to him and said, all right, what's the problem? He said, if I haven't eaten in a while, and I'm hungry. So, all right, what do you want to eat? So I just need something. I said, all right, I'll take you right around here. I'll get you a sandwich. We had a little sandwich shop right around the corner. He said, well, I don't want that. Joe blew a gasket. He blew a gasket, boy. You know, I'm always trying to figure out what I need to say in Polish, yeah? So my CPU is a little bit slow. I got one of them old, old Tandy machine still running around in there, you know, still trying to figure out what it's saying. But Joe's done blowing a gasket. He started chewing out, and that guy said, "What are you talking about? You don't want a sandwich." If my kids ever told me they don't want a sandwich, that's all they're going to have for the rest of this week. But if you get anything, you're getting a sandwich. You ain't getting nothing else. And if it's up to me, you wouldn't get that. Start whipping up my Spanish to Brother Joe. Calmate, calmate, por favor. I said, "All right, sir, what is the problem? Why is it that you're hungry?" "Well, I haven't eaten anything." "Well," I figured, "Dad, now, why are you hungry?" And he said, he repeats it, "Well, I haven't eaten it." "I understand that, but why haven't you eaten anything? You don't know how to cook?" "No, I know how to cook. I just don't have any food." "Why don't you have any food?" "Well, I don't have a job." "Uh-huh. And why don't you have a job?" "Well," he said before, "they said, I don't have any money." I said, "You got no money." "I got no money." I said, "Do you have a debt?" He says, "No, I got no debt." I said, "Well, you're better off than me. I've got a debt." He says, "But I got no money." I said, "Well, why is it you got no money?" He said, "Well, I got no job." I said, "Well, why is it you got no job?" And you know, he's getting frustrated now. And Joe's over there just smiling. I said, "Why is it you don't have a job?" He says, "Well, I lost it." I said, "Haven't you caught on yet? Why did you lose your job?" "Well, I got fired." I said, "I don't understand that. But why did you lose? Why did the boss fire you?" "Well, he didn't like me." "Okay, well, why didn't he like you?" "Well, you were drinking, weren't you?" "Yeah." "So you lost your job because you was drinking?" "Yeah." "Were you married?" "Yeah, I was married and I lost my wife too." "Because you were drinking, right?" "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Now you want me to take money away from my kids and my family and buy you a sandwich?" "No, you don't even want a sandwich. You want chicken." "Now why should I do that?" And he figured out he got more than he bargained for, and he said, "Well, I'm just leaving." I said, "That's the sandwich. Sandwich still stands. You can have a sandwich anytime you want." He decided he didn't want a sandwich and he just left. But you don't know how many times that happens almost every day. Almost every day in Poland. I'm sure it happens right here in San Antonio. People lost their job, lost their family, lost their shirt, lost everything they got because one day, maybe they were young people and they were just playing around like I was. But they didn't get the grace of God like I got, and they didn't get the mercy of God like that, that I got out of that. And that came up and bit them. They became slaves to that alcohol. You know why? Because they took the first cup.
Amen.
When you've got an opportunity to drink anything you want, why would you choose alcohol?
Amen.
Used to go over, well, we used to. We go over to Joe and Debbie's quite often. And poor old Debbie. I love her. But she says, "Brother Brent, what would you like to drink?" Did you understand the question? What would you like to drink? That's an open question, right? "Well, I'd like a banana split milkshake." Her eyes get about this big. She's looking and she says, "What?" I said, "That was your question. What?" And I'm telling you, "Banana split milkshake, please." "Oh, you're impossible." Well, you know what she did? She went in there and made a banana split milkshake. Now, wasn't that gracious of her? But, you know, the next time, she said, "Would you like to drink coffee or tea?" I said, "Tea, please." But if you're going to ask me what, I'm going to say, right? You've been saying around here, "What do you want to eat?" "Salt and grass." "Let's go." No. I mean, would you rather, you know, McDonald's or Wendy's? You know? But you said what? Janet says, "Again?" "They said what? I'm just picking, yeah? Again?" At least I'm consistent. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, did you notice that command in the New Testament where he said, "Be not drunk with wine"? Now, I know you're a vernacular and you figured that out how you can get around that verse. I wish to God that we would all quit finagling. We've always got some way, you know, we're theologians when it comes to figuring out how this doesn't apply to us. Isn't that right? I think I'm hitting home on that one, yeah. I don't think I missed on that. I think that was a fastball right down the middle of the plate. We're always figuring it out. You got your ways to figure out why this verse doesn't apply to me. Wives, submit to your husbands. And you got about 15 verses why you don't have to submit to him, right? Husbands, love your wives. And you got a list why, you know, that you know, because she ain't submitting to me, whatever. But it says, be not drunk with wine. Now look over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Did you know that's a command? Be something. Be all you can be. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know who he catches most often? The ones that aren't sober. More lives are ruined because of alcohol and dope than anything I can think of. And it leads to one tragedy after another tragedy. I told you the other night about all the orphanages in Poland. That was shocking for me. First time we went to visit an orphanage, that director of that orphanage said, most of these kids, their mother and father are still alive. And I said, wait a minute. I thought an orphanage was where the mother and father had died. Isn't that an orphanage? Isn't that how you understand it? But most of them, mom and dad are still alive. Where's mom and dad? Well, dad's sitting in jail somewhere because he got drunk and did something he shouldn't have done. And mom, she's laid out in some flop house somewhere, all under drugs or whatever, and she's drunk as a skunk, and the kids are sitting there in an orphanage. There's been plenty of times I come home, all the doors are open. Where's my mom? Where's my parents? They're out there. My mother's out because somebody dropped some pills in her drink and she drank that. Now she's out of her mind. I've got to go pull her out of a bar somewhere. 16 years old doing that. Great grace. You're looking at a blessed man. There was great thing. There was some wickedness going all around me, everywhere. And I don't know why I didn't fall into that. I can't explain that except the grace of God. And I know there's some theological things and people fighting over and worrying about it, but you know what I know? I know God had mercy on me. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why God saved me and didn't save my brother. I don't know why God didn't save me and save my sister. Now, my sister sold her body for money because she got caught and she got bit by that wicked adder called alcohol and drugs. My Bible says, be sober. And there's nothing more shocking to me. I don't know why it still shocks me, but it does. Nothing more shocking to me. I understand. My parents were not saved. My brother and sister were not saved. I understand. When you don't have the peace of God, you're looking for something. Anything will do because you're empty. And you don't have the answers. And boy, when they tell you the alcohol will give you answers, and they paint them pretty old billboards, and they put them advertising newspapers, they're all glossy and fine, that looks like the life. And they tell you this is the life. No, it ain't.
Amen.
But when you don't have God, and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that looks awful good. And you start drinking, and then you get caught. And I've known a lot of people in my life that got caught. And they just couldn't get out of it. I've seen them running with grown men, crocodile eyes, crocodile tears running down their cheeks. If I can only get out from under it, if I can only get out from under it, I don't want to be a drunkard. I don't want to drink anymore. But they can't quit. Why? Because they started off with the first cup. They started off with the first pill. My Bible says, be sober. Now, I can understand a lost man doing it. What I can't understand is why any Christian will not do something like that.
Amen.
It says that at the last, why would you want to put an adder in your refrigerator? And you got a six pack of them in there.
Amen.
You got a cooler full of them. Why would you want to carry a cooler full of adders? You know why? Because the devil's lied to you and you believed his lie.
He
painted up that thing and he made that thing look like a bottle, something you'd like and desirable. Kind of like the serpent did with Eve in the garden. Looked beautiful, didn't he? Homeless. Health problems. I've got another uncle. My dad, my grandmother had 13, 14 children. I don't even know how many aunts and uncles I got. Don't even know all my cousins. One of my uncles got saved. My aunt got saved and her husband got saved. My uncle got saved. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And he got gloriously saved. I mean, he was a bar hopper and he went drinking to go fight. That was his life. Him and my dad. And one of the reasons it took so long for my dad to get saved, he got mad at God because my uncle got saved. His drinking buddy got saved and delivered. And my uncle, he wasn't the most tactful person in the world. I mean, he still had that old nature in him. And he had one word, repent or go to hell. And he'd just repeat that same old thing like a parrot. Anytime he'd see my uncle, you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. If he saw my dad, you don't repent, you're going to... Well, my dad got tired of that. But I had another uncle. He'd come home from work at night and he'd drink 24 beers every night. Man, he used to come home in a case. I don't know if you've seen those cases. I hope you don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm afraid you do. Well, he got pneumonia. Brother Brian's got pneumonia. We need to pray for him. They took him up to the hospital and he waited in the emergency room and there had been an accident or something. He waited there for I don't know how many hours. Finally, he told my cousin, he said, take me home. I'll just come back tomorrow. I'm just too much pain. I can't take it. He went home and got up in bed and had the lights off and middle of the night he called my cousin. He said, would you get me a glass of water? And I don't know where my aunt was at this time, but the story is that my cousin came up. And one of my cousins, they had like eight kids. So one of my cousins went up and got him a glass of water. And he went downstairs and got that glass of water and he came back up and he said, Daddy, I got your water. And his dad had fallen asleep. And he started pushing my uncle and said, Dad, I got your water. Daddy, wake up. And he was stiff. He died and went out into a Christless eternity. Just like that. Just like that. You know how many people in this world have health problems because they've been drinking? I got a beloved wife here. Her daddy died from drinking. Died when she was about 5 years old. She didn't have her daddy around because her daddy drunk himself to death. And you're going to play with that stuff? And you call yourself a born-again Christian, you're going to play with that? You're going to roll the dice?
Amen.
Maybe you'll have some drink. Maybe you'll drink that little bit of wine at dinner. And maybe you'll never get drunk. Maybe so. But what about your kids?
Amen. Amen.
What about your wife? What about your neighbor?
Amen.
Maybe they'll not have the same grace or the same ability to overcome. I don't know how to explain these things. I don't know why it is that one, all of a sudden, they just can't get out from under it. And it doesn't bother another. But I know it happens. And you're rolling the dice. My Bible says, don't be deceived by it. Be not drunk with wine and be sober. One thing I know is you never drink an ounce of liquor of any kind. You'll never get drunk from it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that was for free because I already got the check, so it's okay. Now I'm going to fix to start preaching. Belshazzar had a sobering encounter with God Almighty. I mean, he's drinking, right? Isn't that what our text says? Down there about verse 4, and they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. You can imagine what was going on. In the same hour, verse 5, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. And his thoughts, what does it say? His thoughts what?
Troubled
him. Like I was telling you the other night, his thoughts troubled him. So that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. I'd say he was shooken up a little bit, wouldn't you? Literally, he was shaking. And the king cried aloud. I told you, and I'll tell you again, because it's worth repeating. You've met these type of people. I've met them all the time. They say, well, you can't believe that book because that book was written by man. You heard that before?
Amen.
I know, I just told you the other night. I hope you heard it.
Amen.
Do you remember? They say that book was written by man. Well, that might be so. But I know there's at least two parts of it that God Almighty had His finger in it.
Amen.
God Almighty wrote the Ten Commandments. And I can't help but believe that wasn't the finger of Jesus Christ writing on that wall.
Amen.
So you don't believe all the rest of it because it's written by man. What about where God wrote?
Amen. All right.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
There is something about it that we have the Word of God in our hands.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You know what? My daddy had a Bible in our house. We never read it, but we had a Bible in our house. When I went to school as a young man, we had a Bible in our classroom. We didn't have Sunday school in our classroom, but we had Sunday school in our school. I don't know if it was Sunday school, it was midweek school, you understand? During lunch break, a little church right across the street from our elementary school, the ladies would come over and teach us Bible songs.
Amen.
Stop and let me tell you. I don't remember the rest of the song. How's that go? Stop, go, you know, go for Jesus. I don't remember how it goes. And we sang I Redeemed in a different tune than Brother Danny was singing. I was only 8 years old when that happened. Things have changed, haven't they? But you and I got the words of God Almighty written in a book. And that to me, that's the wisdom of God. That He would give us His Word in a book. Because if God spoke to you in an audible voice when you was a young man, you'd have a hard time believing and trying to remember everything He told you when you was a young man. You'd scratch your head and was that God that spoke to me or was that my daddy was speaking to me? I can't remember what was what. And you'd get the story all turned around. Yeah? So it was pretty wise of God to write it down in a book so that we'd have a record of it. And I don't understand these people. They'll get out a book and they'll say so-and-so did this and so-and-so that did that. And they'll swear up and down that George Washington was the first president of this country. You ever hear that story? Who told you that George Washington was the first president of this country? Who told you that? Did you see him? Were you around? How do you know that George Washington was the first president? Did you hear an audible voice from heaven? George Washington was the first president. Is that what happened to you? No. Some teacher told you.
Amen.
Gave you a book and said, read. In that book said George Washington was the first president. I bet you believe he chopped down a cherry tree, don't you? You believe that, don't you? You believe that. Why? Because you read it in a book. Now, why wouldn't you believe this book? Telling us about a man that never sinned. Telling us about a man that died on a cross for you and I. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God who died for us. Why don't you believe God's book? We believe the testimony of man. Why don't we believe the testimony of God? When old Belshazzar saw the handwriting of God on the wall, it woke him up. And you know why we have revival meetings? You know why we gather around Sunday and Wednesday night? We have different types of meetings during the year. Do you know why that is? Because we're praying that God Almighty will take His Word and wake us up.
Amen. Amen.
Awake to righteousness and sin not is what the Bible says.
Amen.
Look at Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. This may be my last sermon in English for a long time, so hang on. 19 and verse 7. I hope you don't have to work too early in the morning. Verlene's getting nervous. The law of the Lord is perfect. Yeah, she's getting nervous, all right. Ooh, I'm going out the different door and I'm done. The law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. The testament of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, why wouldn't you want to take a drink of that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to fill your bottle up with that? Why don't you want to carry a cooler around with that? Why don't you want to fill your refrigerator with that? That's cool water from the words of God. God Himself give us His Word. And it will enlighten our eyes. It will bring joy to our hearts. It will give us comfort when we're down. He might drag us down to that house of mourning, but He gives joy and comfort to the soul. Some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. But you know what it says? Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. You know what I've seen in the lives of people? I've seen where the Word of God changed their lives. Now, sometimes they didn't get saved. I mean, they just started believing the Bible and they didn't get saved. But just by applying the principles that are written in the Word of God, it changed their lives. You better thank God that in America, most of our Constitution, a lot of the principles we have and the laws that we have come from the principles that are laid out in this book.
Amen.
Some men that knew this book did the best they can to form a government. I'm not saying it's a perfect government, but we ought to thank God every day that the principles that was formed came from this book. And I know we got a lot of complaints against America and we don't like our president and all that, and I understand. But you know what? They're still trying to get in here. I don't see them waiting out on the outskirts of Iran, knocking on the door, hey, we want to join your country.
Amen.
I don't see them wading across some river trying to get into Iran. And when some of them did cross the border and them Iranians captured them and threw them in the jail, what did they say? We weren't trying to come in here.
Yeah.
It was not our intent. His countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. Well, thank God for that. Thank God when you read the Bible, it troubles you. That means your conscience is still alive. But he had a problem here. The king cried aloud to bring what? In the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. Now you understand, this king, he had already sowed some bad habits in his life. And he was surrounded with tradition. You know, it reminds me a lot of Poland. People start reading the Bible and where are they going to go? Because all around them are astrologers and soothsayers. People will tell them, no, don't be troubled. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. It's just a figment of your imagination. No, you can't take the Bible literally. Don't you worry about it. Go ahead and shack up with that girl if your intention is to marry her. I've heard that out of the mouth of religious people. soothsayers. Trying to paint which is something that's black, they want to paint it white. Something that's good, they want to paint it evil. Something that's evil, they want to paint it good. But you know, there's always a woman that knows a little bit. I know there was a woman in my life, a young lady, gave me some wisdom. The queen spake and said, "There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God." Now, she didn't understand. Her terminology wasn't right. We probably can criticize and pick apart what she had to say, but she was right on. She knew a man that knew God. And she says, "You know, I don't know, but there's a man. He's got a spirit that ain't like all the rest of these. Maybe you ought to talk to him." And they went to the right man. Were you here this morning? God's looking for a man. And you find time and time again in the Scriptures that God is looking for a man and provides a man to give the right answer about God. And usually he's in the minority. Usually the majority are saying something else. Those aren't the men we want. We want God's men. And God's man comes along and tells that, O King Belshazzar, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Look over in Romans in chapter 3. You got your Bibles here tonight? Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned. And what? Come short of the glory of God. You know, when I was, I don't know how old I was 12 years old. And then they had peewee football. And I wanted to play football. But they had regulations. You had to weigh 70 pounds to play peewee football. Minimum. I weighed in at 61 and a half. 61 and a half. The minimum weight was 70. Now, I couldn't meet the minimum. You know what happened? Came up short. They said, go home and eat a lot of potatoes. That's ever since I liked potatoes. I didn't eat potatoes. I came back the next week and stuffed potatoes in my pocket. Got on that scale again, 62. No peewee football for you. Got to high school. My parents were divorced, and I ended up living with my stepmother and my dad, who adopted me. Went to another high school where they're a little bit short on the freshman football team. I happened to be in my first class, and I was surrounded by two big old muscular kids that played football on the freshman football team. Say, hey, we need somebody else to play football. You know, I'm this little guy. You thought I was a zipper when you met me. I don't know what you'd call me if you had met me when I was a little kid. He said, we want you to come play football. Sure, I finally get to play football, and they didn't weigh me. I was so happy. They didn't weigh me. If they weighed me, they probably... But they gave me these shoulder pads. It went down to my elbows. None of the equipment fit me. But I'm out there playing football. The first play, the biggest, meanest guy, the fullback, come running over all them other guys, them burly guys, ran them all over, and it's between me and him. And I'm standing there with my shoulder pads, and he just flattened me. Do you ever hear they tell you about, you know, you see the cartoon, you see little birds going around the guy's head? That's what happened to me. And that was all right, because I stopped him. I tackled him. I was so happy I tackled him. But what came after, I couldn't handle. All my teammates started to beat me on the head. Way to go! Way to go! I said all that to say this. That Belshazzar came up short. You know, it's one thing to come up short in the Pee Wee Football League. Or to come up short in some other thing. But to come up short in the eyes of God, woe be to you. Amen. Now, I don't know if they do that here in America too much, but they do in Mexico and they do in Poland. Have you ever seen these scales? They got these little weights that weigh about a kilo, and then they slide them on there, and you want 2 kilos, and the guy, he puts 2 kilos on there, and they put your tomatoes over there, and you get as much as you want. Yeah? You know, if you're not careful, that guy's shaved down that weight, so you're not getting a full kilo. Look what the Bible says about that. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Now, I said all that to say this, because wicked sinners that we are and people are in every generation are always finagling in trying to figure out how they can get around God's scale. They're always working on, God gave you the Ten Commandments. You understand the Ten Commandments. But they're always finagling. And they're always they're conniving and trying to figure out how they can get around it. Isn't that right? God demands absolute righteousness. And they're saying, well, I ain't so bad. Well, I try. Did you know trying's not good enough? I like to ask these guys that tell me. I said, we ask them, are you saved? They said, well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. First of all, that wasn't what I was asking. I wasn't asking whether you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments or keep the Ten Commandments. I asked you if you were saved. Have you been born again? But they always say that. Well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, I like to ask them, how's it going? And they say, well, I'm trying. Well, how are you doing on that one called murder? Are you trying not to murder? I'm trying not to murder. Some of that went over your head. All right, let's try another one. I'm trying not to steal. Well, officer, I was trying not to steal. Big old TV in their hands. I was trying not to. Okay, you still not got it. All right. Well, officer, I was trying to obey the speed limit. Are you catching on now? That means you were exceeding the speed limit. Because nobody says, I was trying to keep the commandments when they keep the commandments. Amen. When you keep the commandments, they say, well, I keep the commandments. They don't say, I'm trying. They say they're trying because they're lying. Amen. They don't keep the commandments. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. When we preach the gospel and we tell sinners that they need to repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they get in this habit and they get in this groove and this rut and start telling us about how good they are. In 99 times out of 100, they start comparing themselves, that old drunk laying in the gutter. And they say, well, I don't drink like he does. Well, I'm better than he is. Well, I don't do what he does. You know, I've got a job and a family. But you know what? They get drunk every weekend too. Just haven't been bit by that adder yet and left them drunk in the gutter. And many times I found out there's not much difference between them two. The difference is this. When you talk to that old drunk in the gutter, he says, yeah, I'm a sinner, and I can't get out of this. I'm a slave to this sin, and I wish I could find a way. If I only knew there was some way to get out. Well, how'd you get there? It ain't always bad stories of how they got there. Sometimes you hear some sad stories. Well, my mother died, or my wife died in an accident and killed my boy. Both my wife and son died. And I just couldn't handle it. And I just started drinking to drown my sorrows. And the next thing you know, I'm a slave. You sort of feel compassion for a man like that, don't you? You can understand because he doesn't know the God of comfort that we know. He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And all around him are gods of silver and gold and wood. And he doesn't know the real God that can deliver him from that. But then there's this self-righteous hypocrite, thinks he's better than him. He drinks every weekend, gets drunk every weekend, thinks he's better than that old drunk in the gutter. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight in His delight. We always want to compare ourselves to somebody that's worse than us. Not one time in my life have I met a sinner that said, you know, I got to thinking about that and I've compared myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right, I need a Savior. Every time I talk to these self-righteous sinners, you know what they always do? I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I don't want to go to church. That church is full of hypocrites. What do you think the bar's full of? Where do you work at? You got no hypocrites where you work?
Amen.
You got no hypocrites in your neighborhood?
Amen.
You mean you're not a hypocrite? Can I call your wife and find out?
Amen.
Isn't that right? Am I telling the truth? We always want to find somebody that's dirtier than we are.
Amen.
Make a comparison. So, well, I'm doing better than he is. Why don't we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And I found out that's why people don't like to read the Bible, because the Bible is pure. The Word of God is pure and right and righteous. And we open up that book and that book starts showing us what we are in the eyes of God. We don't like that. That's why we don't like to read that. We'd rather read some Playboy magazine. We'd rather read something dirty so we can think we're something better. He said, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You're going to get your chance, friend. Your day is coming. It's coming a whole lot faster than you and I think. It wasn't but 10 days ago we started this revival meeting. And here it is already over. It wasn't but 17 years ago we went to Poland, and it's been 17 years. It's been 27 years since we've lived in America. 27 years. That's longer than some of you have been hatched. But we don't want to compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to compare ourselves to somebody that's way, way, way down so that we look good, don't we? Well, my marriage is better than their marriage. Well, I'm doing better than they are. How you doing in the eyes of Jesus Christ? Verse 22 in our text. Daniel here was telling a story about his father, Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, he's saying, you should have known better. You got no excuses. Of all the people in the world, you should have known better. You knew what God did to your daddy. You experienced it. Now, maybe that's why he did what he did, because he was bitter against God. I don't know. It doesn't say. But look what it says in verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Isn't that the problem? I try to get to the core of things now. And the problem with the lack of a revival is that not that we don't know. A lot of you sit in this room know the Bible better than I do. I mean, you can quote it in English better than I can. I can't remember these verses in English anymore. You got some good teachers in this room that understand the Bible and can teach you the Word of God. I don't think the problem is a lack of understanding or lack of knowledge. I think people sitting in this room that spend any amount of time attending faithfully to the Sunday school classes or the Sunday morning worship service here, if you've been any amount of time, you know more of the Bible than most people in the world. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is pride. Pride will rise up in our hearts and deceive us. God gives grace to the humble, but what does He do to the proud? He resists the proud. You find the humble man, he may make some mistakes. He might not have the terminology down. He might not have all the doctrine right, you know, in all the right places, in the right order. But because he's humble before God Almighty, God blesses.
Yeah,
I think what our churches need, I think what we need here tonight is that we find ourselves and humble ourselves before God. And I think we have a misconception of what it means to humble ourselves before God. Some of us are waiting around for a feeling. Well, I just don't feel humble. Yeah, I know you don't, because you're proud. Sometimes you just got to get on your knees and pray to God Almighty and say, God, I'm too proud. God, I'm too proud. Lord, I know my problem. I'm proud. Lord, I know you resist the pride, but have mercy upon me, Lord. I'm too proud. Do something about it. Like the old drunks crying out to God, God set me free from alcohol. God set me free from alcohol. And you know how you're supposed to pray? You're supposed to pray until you get free.
Amen.
The problem is we don't want to do that. We don't like that old cross. We don't want to crucify the old man. We want to play with him. We want to play around in the shadows. We don't want to run from the light, get too far away from the light. We don't want to get over in that dark cave somewhere where there's no light at all. We just want to hang around in the shadows. Just close enough to the light when we need to get warmed up, we can stick our toe out there a little bit and everything will be okay. But we don't want to fall on our face and say, God, I should be dead today.
Amen.
Have mercy upon me. He says, thou, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all things, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessel, and they abuse the things of God. Look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. All right, it's getting late. I'm going to shut her down. Matthew 12 and 41, the Bible says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, the greater than Jonas is here. Now, if I understand the Bible right, it says plenty of times, repent. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems like every major prophet we find in the Bible said, repent. John the Baptist said, repent. The apostle said, repent. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, repent. You know what repentance is? It's a change of your mind, a change of your heart, a change of your attitude about towards something. I'll give you one example. We were down in Aguas Calientes preaching the gospel. We knocked on every door and gave everybody a gospel invitation. You come out and hear the gospel. Well, one morning we knocked on this door, and this man came out, and he listened for a little bit. He was all excited. He invited us into his home. And he had a big old altar. I mean, a lot of people in Mexico had altars in their home. Most of the time they had an altar to the Virgin Mary. Gods of silver, gold, and wood. And they had bowed down before that virgin and prayed to that idol. Well, this man, he had a big old Catholic Bible in his altar room. And he wanted to show us the Bible because we were talking to him about the Bible. We're going to be preaching the Word of God. And it's important to listen to the Word of God. And he brought us in. He wouldn't let us touch his Bible, but he said, here's my Bible. There's a lot of people like that, don't they? They don't ever touch their Bible, but there it is. I got a Bible. You know? And he was all excited. And we told him, well, we're going to be coming back this afternoon, because we had preached twice on the same street, the same homes. We're going to come back this afternoon. He said, you come by any time. I'm just so glad you're here. I'm so glad to hear somebody's preaching the Word of God. Now, it was obviously he didn't quite understand what we preached that morning, because he probably wouldn't have been talking about that. But apparently he got to reading our literature that we left him. Went back that afternoon, knocked on his door. Boy, he stuck his head out the door and said, what do you want? I thought, is that the same man I talked to this morning? I said, we'd come back. You said we'd come back any time. We'd like to come back and talk to you. He said, I don't want you to come in. Go away. I said, wait a minute. Didn't you tell us that you wanted us to come back? Yeah, but I repent. That's what he said. He said, I repent. He changed his mind. And that change of mind brought about a change of action. That's what we're talking about. We want revival. We got to repent. We got to repent in such a way that we don't let go of God till He blesses us. We've got to repent in such a way that it changes our actions. We got to humble ourselves so we go up to that brother we've offended, we've been bitter against, or that sister, or that wife, or that husband, or that child, or that pastor, or that deacon, or whoever it is. We go up to them with a humble heart and a contrite heart. We confess our sins. We say, "Forgive me." But we don't want to do that, do we? Because we lift up our hearts against God. I'm telling you, that's the road to destruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll close with this. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Listen to the words of God. Imagine it as the hand of God writing on the wall to sober us up and wake us up. And God help us that it might trouble our souls. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Isn't that what happened to old Belshazzar? He wasn't expecting the Lord show up at his party. It comes in as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Isn't that what happened to Belshazzar? Did we read that verse 30? And he was slain, he died. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. Isn't that true? Are you? Are you the children of light? And the children of the day? We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, because that's so, is it so? Therefore, let us not sleep. Let's wake up. Let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. Did you get it? Did you get it? For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, that's us. But let us who are of the day. What? Be sober. Did you miss it the first time around? Amen. There's nothing wrong with repeating that which is right. He said what? Be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and what? Oh, may God fill us with the love of God. May God so overpower us with His Spirit that we're so filled with charity that everything we do will last for eternity. Because if we don't, we are nothing. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, thank God for that, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, thank God for that. That, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Brethren, there's not much more I can say. You've got the Word of God. You've got some of the finest preachers I've ever met in my lifetime. You've got the head knowledge. You've got sound doctrine right up here. My prayer and our prayers that might come to hear in our heart and change our lives. Some of you need to repent. And you need to do it tonight. And you know what you need to do. So I want you to stand up and do it. Don't wait. Stand up. Everybody, stand up. God's touched your heart. You have an opportunity to come down here and pray. You can grab my hand or grab Brother Kincaid's hand or Brother Bill's hand or one of these other brothers and say, "Brother, would you pray for me?" But what I'm asking you to do is make a commitment to God Almighty. What I'm asking you to do tonight is to acknowledge. If your heart has been cold, then acknowledge that. If you find that you've been lukewarm, then acknowledge that. If you find that you've been playing with fire, then acknowledge that. If you find that you've got an adder in your refrigerator, then acknowledge that. Whatever it is that God spoke to you, I want you to do something about it. And make a commitment. I want you to humble yourself before God and say, God, I want to serve You with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind.